Do you realize a man could be right in what he is doing and yet have opposition? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." These words are to be found in the Gospel according to John, in the 7th chapter. And if you will turn to the 7th chapter in the Gospel of John, you can follow along in what we are going to be thinking about together just now. That happens to be in the 12th verse. And that brings to our mind something that is, to my mind, very important for us to recognize. The Lord Jesus Christ was a perfect person. He did no sin. He totally obeyed God. He went about doing good. And yet he was not approved by everyone. There were many discussions and arguments about him. Now that's something for you to carry in mind. We don't want to specially stir people up, and we have no great desire to cause anyone to resist us. But we, you and I, should have in mind that if we bear our witness and testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we seek to serve him, we should not be surprised if from time to time we actually run into situations where we are actually opposed, and it will be wise for us to be very careful in what we say and what we do. You will remember that earlier than this, if you look back in that chapter, even as far back as the 6th verse, in chapter 7, verse 6, Jesus said, "My time is not yet come, your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." There is the, sometimes it's a bit sad, sometimes it's a bit tragic, that the very people we want to help, the very people we're putting ourselves out for, to do things for, actually oppose us. Whereas someone else who is doing them no good at all is acceptable to them. The person with the truth must be most careful in his public conduct. The Lord Jesus knew that the day that he showed himself in Jerusalem, at this time in his career, as you read it here in the Gospel of John, in chapters 6 and 7 along in here, if he had shown himself in Jerusalem, he would have precipitated such opposition that they would have taken him, seized him to destroy him, which eventually they did do. When he was speaking to his own brothers, he testified, he put it this way, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it." And so actually comparing one person with another, if you're seeking to live the Christian life, perhaps in your own home, certainly in your own church, and in your own community, and you'd really try to live the Christian life, you cannot ever be too wise. You will want to be just as wise and careful as you know how to be, and yet you must bear your witness. You'll have to face the fact that when you're dealing in the community and you are in, you're dealing in the church that you're in, you're dealing in the school that you're in, you're living in the office that you're in, perhaps even living in the home that you're in, you'll just have to have this in mind, that the worldly people have all the advantage so far as this world is concerned. Because the common people, I mean the average people, do not resist and they do not resent others like them. They do resist and they do resent anybody that's not as they are. And so in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had this opposition, even though he was perfect. And he said at this time, that "My time is not yet fully come." Well, it would come, and it did come. And when it did come, he stepped out and he accepted what they did and they crucified him. But it belonged to his obedience and to his wisdom to wait for the right time to show himself. And this is something that we're going to find all the way through. That a person can be right, can be doing the right thing, and yet can actually be confronted by a stiff opposition from the world at large. Now we're going on in our study, and as we move along, we come down to where the Lord Jesus did go to the temple, and in verses 14 and from there on, We'll see what happened when he was in the temple. So we read in verse 14 about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. In verse 15 we read, the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? That is to say, how is he able to make a public address like this and to speak out in the open in the way in which he does and to, as it were, make a public speech when he has never been to school in the formal education? He has never been trained under great teachers or anything like that. They thought of him as an uneducated man. He had no formal education, and yet he was teaching the people. And now in verse 15, this is a very important thing. I think maybe we'll have to move on to get in verse 16 what we're looking for. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. The Lord Jesus was saying, in effect, the acceptance of what I have to say will depend entirely upon the heart of the people who are listening to me, because I'm not speaking of myself. I'm saying only what the Father wants me to say. But the only person who will understand that, and the only person who will appreciate it, is a person that's willing to do the will of the Father. If any man will to do his will, he shall know whether I'm talking of myself or whether I'm talking from my Father. Apparently, to understand the truth of the gospel is only possible for hearts that are willing to obey God. I hope that that is clear. I hope I'm not talking too fast and that you can follow me through on this. The only heart or mind that can understand the truth of the gospel at any given time in any given passage is going to be the heart that's willing to do God's will. Look down in verse 18. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Actually, he says, the way in which you'll be able to tell whether the doctrine is of God or whether it's of man will be by a person who personally wants to do the will of God. And this is the way in which it will show up. There are two different ways of, shall I say, teaching or speaking. One of them is to speak out of one's own mind. Of himself means according to my own ideas. And the person who speaks and teaches out of his own ideas, according to his own thinking, is seeking his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, and notice how he words that, who seeketh his glory that sent him. Now, he could have said that seeketh the glory of God. But if he had said the glory of God, it wouldn't have meant as much as when he puts in this phrase, him that sent him, because that was the relationship he had with the Father. He that seeketh the glory of him that sent him, such a person is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now, I don't know how much you want to dwell on that in your own mind, but you could just stop and ask yourself of the books that you read, the articles that you read, the preaching that you hear, the teaching that you hear, and you could say, ask yourself, is this person just talking from himself? Is he giving me his views, his own views? Is he just trying to display something that he has thought about? Well, you can check it when you feel in your heart, why is he doing it? Is he doing this thing to get a great reputation? Is he doing this thing to build up his own ego and his own image in the minds of the people? Well, then you will know that it's his idea. Is he seeking to fulfill the things of God? Is he seeking to have the will of God done and fruit born to the glory of God? Then you can be pretty nearly sure that God gave him what he has to say. Now, actually, in verse 19, we see that the Lord Jesus points out that the Jews illustrated this very thing by their own inconsistency. And notice how he reads in verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go you about for to kill me? The Jews claimed to be following Moses, who gave them the law of Moses. Yet they broke the law of Moses in wanting to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know perfectly well they did. Now in verse 20 you have their quick denial. The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil, who goeth about to kill thee?" But you and I know they were going about to kill him. It says so, that that's what they were planning to do. But of course they gave him a quick denial. But I want you to notice that the Lord didn't answer that denial. He didn't trouble to talk about it. And you'll read on, he goes on and says something further, and he illustrates further what he was talking about. He says, I have done one work, and you all marvel. Incidentally, I think that work he did was the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda, and that was what aroused the Jews, why they wanted to kill him, because he did it on the Sabbath day. And so he's going to refer to this. And he says, I have done one work, that's this healing of this man, and you all marvel. The word marvel really could be, you're all excited about it. You're all disturbed and upset about it. Moses gave you circumcision, and because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. That is, Moses didn't invent it. It came to Abraham first, and Moses carried it on. But they, because of the law of Moses and the way they had in the Levitical priesthood economy, on the Sabbath day, that's when they circumcised a man. Now, the Lord Jesus went on to say, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? After all, the reason you circumcised him was that he might have blessing. Well, the reason the Lord Jesus healed that man was that he might have blessing. Actually, in principle, these two actions were similar. And yet, by their superficial judgment, they said, well, one was right and the other was wrong, and thus they were guilty of a gross inconsistency. And this brings out one simple truth to us, that men can rationalize at any time, and you can't go by their reasons, because they can have good reasons to approve what they like, and they can get good reasons to condemn what they don't like, just as long as they go by appearances. When the heart is right, the mind will soon become sound. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us humbly to seek thy will by being willing to do it. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.